8:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kels Hetherington, and this is Meet the People for September 15, 2010. My guest this morning is J.D. Hansen with the Center for Food Safety. I've asked him on the program to discuss the possible health risks associated with eating genetically altered salmon. The issue is of particular importance as the FDA is set to rule in the near future on an application submitted by a Massachusetts company called Aqua Bounty. The application seeks approval to market a genetically engineered salmon. Well, welcome to the program, J.D.
Well, good afternoon for me, and good morning for your listeners.
Well, thanks. You're calling in from Washington, D.C. How is the weather there?
It's a bright, sunny day. Very nice, actually.
It's still summertime out there, I'm sure.
Yeah, it still is. Yeah, it's about 80 degrees here. That's pleasant.
Well, J.D., maybe before we get started on the discussion at hand, you could tell us a bit about what the Center for Food Safety does.
We are a nonprofit organization that is especially interested in making sure that a lot of these new foods that are coming onto the market, largely genetically engineered, but foods that have been irradiated, foods that are that have nano chemicals mixed into them. We want all of those foods to be well tested before we have people eating them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the application currently before the FDA, submitted by a company called Aqua Bounty, is a request for approval from the FDA for the company to be able to market a genetically altered salmon. How is the company proposing to alter the fish, and how will that change the fish?
Well, what they've done is they have taken the gene from a Chinook salmon for growth hormone, and you know, your listeners know the Chinook salmon get to be the biggest of all the salmons, so they. They figured out that it's partly because they've got a growth hormone gene that just keeps pumping into them, and then they've mixed that with a part of a gene from an eel pout, not the Arctic pout that your listeners might catch, but an ocean pout, a little different variety, but still a big ugly fish. Nothing wrong with that, but. These two fish couldn't get together in nature if they tried. And then they took and made a synthetic bacteria and mixed all of that together to get it to go into synthetic bacteria DNA. And mixed it all together and stuck it in the cells of an Atlantic salmon, and basically they've made a fish that grows real fast, is always hungry, has skeletal deformities, and in effect it's a fish always on steroids, and we don't know whether it's safe to eat or not because the company studies looked at such a small sample of animals. Their only study that comes close to being a study of what happens to people if they eat this involves six fish. Now, most of your listeners, if they go out fishing for salmon, will want to get that many in a day or in every net or they'd go out of business. The company has been doing this research for 15 years, and the best they can do is a study of six fish. I don't think that's good enough.
Hmm. Now, the studies that have been submitted to the FDA have also been submitted behind closed doors. This is kind of unusual for the FDA to be considering something that would be consumed by humans and not to make this a entirely public procedure and discussion. Why is it so secretive?
Well, the Food and Drug Administration figured out they could call this an animal drug, and they could review it under drug review policies. And so they, you know, when when they're reviewing it in the fish, they're saying this is all different. It's so different that it's like a drug, and we have to review it like we do drugs, which we do in secret. And then when they turn around to approve it for us to eat, they say, oh, it's exactly like the salmon you're catching out in the sea, and there's no problem with it at all. We are saying the FDA should not be able to have it both ways. Either it's a drug, in which case it needs to be fully tested before lots of people eat it, or it's not, in which case you have to develop a new procedure for approving these new animals.
Now, the company is, of course, talking about working a farm fish operation or selling the fish technology to someone who does operate farm fish operations. But what would happen if a few of these genetically altered fish escaped? Would they be able to reproduce in the wild? And what would be the impact of something like that?
Well, you know, again, the company's study of the environmental impacts are, you know, is so small that and so contradictory that it's hard to say for certain. But in order to get the fish that they plan to grow out, and they sterilize them in a special way, they still have to produce fertile fish. And where they're doing this is in Canada. And they're doing it on Prince Edward Island, where wild Atlantic salmon used to swim all around the island, and there's still a little bit of a population left. So if these fish get out, they can breed with wild Atlantic salmon, assuming they find them. And because they're growing so fast, you know, these fish are sort of the forever teenage boys of the fish world, even though they're all girls. They're hungry all the time. They're going to eat anything any other salmon-like fish would eat because they're hungry. And so even if they don't breed, they could have the result of eating up a lot of the food for other fish.
What else has Aqua Bounty produced? Do they have any other products?
They have two other products in the pipeline. One is a genetically engineered trout, and the other is a genetically engineered tilapia. They both have the same rigged genes that they're sticking in the Atlantic salmon. So it's essentially the same technology used in some other fish. They've done research on steelheads as well. Their own discussion of steelheads said that if the steelheads got out, because there are a lot of steelheads where they're producing it, that would be a big problem.
Now, there have been many who have voiced concerns about possible health risks associated with the consumption of a genetically altered fish, and you touched on those earlier. But while there is certainly a chorus of voices talking about the possible health risks, it is hard to pin anyone down about exactly how genetically altered salmon could be harmful to humans. Can you be more specific in telling us what the health risk might be?
Yeah. A couple. One, these fish are, by the company's own admission, more likely to get sick than ordinary salmon. What that means is we already use lots of drugs like oxytetracycline and chloramine with salmon, that we have problems when those drugs are exposed to people, mostly the whole issue of antibiotic immunity, or actually bacteria becoming immune, and in this case, some fungus coming immune to treatment. So that's one direct issue or indirect issue. Direct issue is these fish have inflamed tissues. That means that again, they're likely to be sicker than other fish. They also have high levels of insulin-like compounds in them. Now, there's no data that say that humans that eat fish insulin get sick, or even that other mammals that do. But they're a question, and we don't know from the company's own studies what other things there might be. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration looked at their really tiny allergy study, six infertile fish and six fertile fish, and said that the allergy problems of the fertile fish were such that the FDA would not approve fertile fish to be eaten by people because of the likelihood of an allergic reaction.
Hmm.
Again, it's a small sample, a total of six fish. So mostly we don't know.
Now, the British and some other foreign countries have taken legislative action to actually block the sale of genetically altered foods in their countries. Is it possible that the United States might take similar action to do the same?
Well, the way that a lot of other countries have effectively blocked these foods really is not to say you can't do it, but you have to label it. And the British supermarkets have been really rigorous in saying they won't buy any products that are labeled genetically engineered. So that it makes for a pretty effective ban, even though it's not officially a ban. We are asking that all of these fish be labeled, and that we don't want people confusing these genetically engineered salmon with the wild salmon being caught up in Alaska. You know, we want to make sure that they're properly labeled, not sold as just the same, and, you know, we want them labeled all the way through, both when the people go to a fancy restaurant, sit down and eat it, and when they buy it at the supermarket.
And is that likely to be the case in the United States, that supermarkets would not be willing to carry something that had been genetically altered? And by the way, thanks for the correction there about the British and what they've done.
Yeah. The real issue, and there's after, you know, the Food and Drug Administration has in effect already made its mind up, and this is sort of I'll call it a salmon court instead of a kangaroo court. They've decided they're going to push this thing through. They've already got their mind made up. They've brought together a group of people that are cloning and genetic engineering specialists to make the decision. They don't have fisheries biologists that aren't involved in the genetic engineering industry on the committee. In fact, they only have one fisheries biologist at all out of about the 20 people on the whole committee.
Mm.
So it's, you know, if you were serious about doing this, you would bring together people that knew what they're talking about. They haven't done that.
So is there
right?
any...
So our...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's a foregone conclusion?
Our presumption is they will go ahead and approve this next Monday. And then next Tuesday, they're having a hearing on whether it should be labeled.
So it sounds like a foregone conclusion, and it could be a very soon foregone conclusion. Is there anything that people in Alaska can do, contact their senators or congressmen? Is that a productive thing, or is there someone else they should be contacting?
That is a productive thing, and Senator Begich has already said this shouldn't be approved. You know, the people there need to get their other senator and representative saying the same thing, so everybody from all parties are on the same page on this. You know, Alaska already, you know, doesn't allow genetically engineered fish up there. So you need to make sure that your products aren't being contaminated by other people, other places, growing this fish. I would do that. You could also, your listeners can go to our special website that we've set up. GE-fish.org. And we have links for the, you know, they can send in their opinion straight to the FDA about why this should be labeled, you know, if it's approved. And I'd love to hear from a lot of people from Alaska because, you know, the FDA is holding this hearing in a Hilton hotel in the middle of Montgomery County that has no fishing industry whatsoever. That's not how you do this, and so I would hope that the people in Alaska would be really angry.
We are angry about this. If folks are just joining us on the radio, you're tuned in to 8:30 a.m. KSDP. I'm talking with J.D. Hansen of the Center for Food Safety in Washington, D.C. We're talking about genetically altered salmon and the possibility that the FDA will approve they're being marketed in the U.S. very soon, like next Monday. We discussed the likelihood that the FDA will approve the marketing of genetically altered salmon, and you think that, you know, most definitely this is a go unless something drastic should happen. Has the FDA ever approved something like Aqua Bounty's proposal to market genetically altered salmon before? Is there a precedent here?
They've approved two other genetically engineered animals. One, a fish for your aquarium that glows in the dark, which is, you know, unless you've got some idea of swallowing it, you're not going to have a health problem from it. Mm-hmm. And California banned it anyway. And then they approved a genetically engineered goat. And, you know, in that goat approval, they proved that they had no idea how to do an environmental impact statement because they only looked at one of the places the goat was being grown. Now, this goat was not being raised for food. This goat was being raised to produce a human blood-thinning protein in its milk. And, you know, the FDA approved it and then narrowed the application of the drug so much that the company is virtually bankrupt.
Hmm.
So we're hoping that the FDA, if it's going to approve this, will stick by its statement that it's not going to approve it for growing out in the U.S.
Mm.
There's a few little words at the end of the review that says, well, if you want to grow this in the U.S., you're going to have to give us some more data. So basically, it's good enough to be grown in Canada and Panama with this weak research, but it's not good enough to be grown in the U.S. That's what the FDA is saying.
J.D., just one final question. Why has the application been before the FDA for so long? I was reading in the Washington Post that the company has had the application for the FDA for about a decade. Why so long?
Right. Well, I think part of it was the company stuck it in at the beginning of the Bush administration, and they weren't quite sure what to do with this. And so they just set it aside. And then when the Obama administration came in, they said, well, I guess we'll get this off our plate and on to yours. And, you know, I don't think, you know, it's the same staff. But, you know, the staff have been spending all their time talking to the biotechnology industry, not very much of their time talking to any fishermen anywhere.
Hmm.
So, you know, the Bush administration had the idea that this is nothing we need to spend much government money on and let it sit there. And Obama's folks are saying, okay, let's get it out. And it's basically a bailout for this company. They were going bankrupt too. And since the FDA announced their possible approval, the company's stock price has gone up from almost zero to 26 pounds. It's traded on the London stock market, not the U.S. stock market, to make it confusing.
Hmm.
You know, it's a Massachusetts company, raises its fertile fish in Canada, trades on the London stock market, and grows them out in Panama.
Yeah, you can't just try to figure that one out, right? It is confusing.
Yeah.
And well, it's interesting. Now, is there any way that the government might be convinced to block the approval of something like this because it was going to decimate an entire portion of the fishing industry? I realize that may not be the FDA's parameter and decision-making paradigm, but is there any way to get that aspect of the impact of this kind of decision to factor into what happens at the FDA?
Well, you know, one of the things that Congress needs to do is just take away the money that the FDA has to do this. To say, no, we're not going to let you approve more fish. We're not going to let you approve this one anymore. If this is what you're doing with your staff time, we need to find something else, like figure out why we have so many chickens with salmonella in them instead of trying to approve some weird fish. So, you know, having your listeners give their senators and your representative up there a call saying, what are you doing to stop this?
And Mark,
how to stop it.
Mark Begich is the one to contact. You say he's been the most vocal opponent from this neck of the woods on this issue?
Yeah, he's issued a good press release, and we're talking to him and his staff. But there's actually a letter going around the House of Representatives asking FDA to stop this now and not move forward on it at all. And, you know, your other senator and your representative could sign on to that.
Well, thank you very much, J.D., for joining us on the telephone this morning from Washington and talking about this frightening possibility.
Yeah, again, your listeners can go to our website, ge-fish.org, and get more information.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
That is Meet the People for this morning, September 15, 2010. I'm Cal Southerington. We are talking about genetically altered fish and the discussion that is going on at the FDA involving an approval process that could conclude as early as next Monday. So you should definitely contact Senator Mark Begich, Senator Lisa Murkowski, and Congressman Don Young and tell them to tell the FDA to say no on this proposal. We'll go back to the music now on 8:30 a.m. KSDP.